Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, and their charitable foundation is called Sharing Change. And it's funded by members who round up their electric bills to the nearest dollar each month, supporting hundreds of nonprofits. Discover more at sharingchange.org. Well, today we have the opportunity to talk about Doors of Hope here in our community. And we have a couple of guests from Doors of Hope joining us today. Peyton Reichenau, she is the volunteer and alumni coordinator, and Taylor Mora, who is the mental health counselor, or one of them, at Doors of Hope, joining today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. Pull those mics as close as you can get them to you there. They'll move around. You can get rough with them there. Doors of Hope. Peyton, you want to kind of tell us a little bit about what Doors of Hope does here in our community?
Yeah, absolutely. So Doors of Hope is a 12-month program. We basically house women, and we help them get a job within the first 40 days. Our program basically helps with reintegrating them back into society after they've served in incarceration or they've come from rehabilitation. Taylor, do you want to speak a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, so as Peyton said, we are a 12-month substance use treatment program, so reentry as well. So we have women who suffer from substance use disorders and then coming out of incarceration. So they come in and we do a 30 to 45 day stabilization period where we do basically an IOP type course. So they do classes Monday through Friday from 9 to 4, where they're learning all kinds of different life skills and psychoeducation, doing group therapy. They also do relapse prevention and different recovery type classes. So our goal is to get them to learn how to be a functioning human being without substances. So they meet with different, we're a very well-rounded program. So we have mental health counselors, they have case managers, we have a licensed alcohol and drug counselor, a certified peer recovery specialist, which is somebody who is in recovery themselves. And then we do have a LPN on staff. And then we also work with other organizations in the community to help them get, learn the skills that they maybe never learned, because some of them have started using we've had some as young as 5 years old who started first experience with drugs or alcohol or even cigarettes. So a lot of our women before puberty have started using drugs, and then now they're in their middle ages and just trying to learn how to refunction in society.
So I mean, it's like a total different world.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the life skills that they had were just survival. And unfortunately, they've been through a lot of traumas, which then fed into that substance use disorder, those addictions. So we're here to help them recover from not only substance use, but also those traumatic events as well.
You said IOP. What did that mean?
So it's intensive outpatient.
Okay.
Classes. So it is a residential program. So they do live with us for the full 12 months. We do have people who are court mandated there. We have furlough clients, which means that they're technically still an inmate of the state. They're just housed with us. So after that stabilization period, they go ahead and start to get a job. So we teach them how to get a job. Maybe they only worked enough time to get a paycheck so they could get their next fix. Maybe they've never worked a paycheck at a physical place. They were just hustling. So we're trying to teach them how to live life on life's terms in that sense. And then as well as incorporate into the recovery community. So going to meetings, they have to work a 12-step program, have to have a sponsor, and still get back to working a 40-hour-a-week job. Many of them have never done that before, or they have giant gaps in their work history.
Yeah. That intensive period, that first 30, 45 days, that's got to be tough.
Yes. So we have a lot of women. Like I said, they're either coming off the street, they're coming out of rehab. So we have women who've been clean for 2 days. We've had women who have been clean for several years, but they were incarcerated. So they were very institutionalized. So we have a very structured stabilization period to get them used to that, because we found if they have too much freedom, then that's just as overwhelming, and then they can go right back out to the streets. So they do have the classes that they have to attend, the meetings that they have to do weekly. So just kind of helps them get integrated. It takes about 2 weeks for the overwhelmingness to kind of subside, and then they get in the flow of that, and then they start looking for jobs. But that can be extremely overwhelming because they do have criminal backgrounds, most of them. So we really try to work in the community to help them find jobs, but it's very difficult because jobs can be kind of judgy of people's past and
stigmatization.
It's hard to get them those chances, but we have been fortunate that anybody we've ever had in our program has gotten a job regardless of their background.
Wow. Good. That's also awesome. Peyton, how did this program start? Or what's the story behind Doors of Hope? Why is it a thing?
So Doors of Hope, especially in Middle Tennessee, there is, you know, the opioid crisis and everything like it. So I think this is the opportunity to just really give women the opportunity to get a second chance. That's pretty much what we're founded on. We wanted this to be an organization that empowers women to break the cycle of incarceration addiction. Taylor, she's worked here for many years, so she knows a lot about the program and basically all the changes that's happened. I mean, we've switched directors a couple times. Right now we have Lois Barrett, and she's awesome. She's the greatest. But Taylor has seen a lot of directors, and right now I feel like Doors of Hope is just the strongest that it's ever been as far as community goes and everything. And I have loved working every moment with this job, especially with volunteers and getting them. It's so important to do things like this, like radio shows, because it does highlight our community, and we want people, especially me as a volunteer coordinator, we want people to volunteer.
Sure.
And I'm thrilled to say that this organization really does just want to see the best in women.
There's a physical building, right?
Yes.
Doors of Hope
is
a facility.
Yeah, it took me 3.5 minutes to get here. We're right behind the square. We're
on Bell Street.
Yes, we have an administrative office where all of our admin people are. And then around that area, we have 3 houses and then our stabilization building. We have a transitional house, and then we have another house further down on Main Street. So we have several locations. We can house up to 33 women, I believe, currently, and we have expanded tremendously throughout the years. Since I've been there, I started in 2020 as an intern, and as Peyton was saying, we started off really looking at the reentry part of it. Our founder, Maridel Williams, started it in 2011, and it was her understanding that there was not a lot of help for people coming out of incarceration. So it really started as a reentry program, very volunteer based, and trying to fill that gap for people. So she really did that. And then we've been able to bloom into what we are now, which is recovery based and that reentry aspect of it.
We are talking today about Doors of Hope, and with us in studio, Peyton Reichenau. She is the volunteer and alumni coordinator, and Taylor Mora, the mental health counselor. Taylor, let me ask you this, because you said you started there as an intern and you've been there a while.
Yeah.
There's some reason that you stay. You must really enjoy what you do.
I do. It can be really difficult at times because we unfortunately have had women go back out and they have lost their lives. So it's been unfortunate, but then the ones that have gotten it and seeing those aha moments is truly amazing and one of the best gifts to see and to be a part of their story. We've had several graduates in the last several years. And right now we have the best retention rate we've had since I've been there, which just goes to show how that growth, and we've been able to adapt and change to what the women's needs are. We have been thankful to have many volunteers come in and help with that IOP process, with those classes that we do too. So there are very difficult days, but then there's those days where you're at graduation, and especially for myself being a therapist, I hear the worst parts of their lives, like that some of them have never told anybody. So it's for real the best opportunity to see them then walk across that stage, and we give them a little diploma. And then we've seen women get their kids back. They're working in recovery. They've given back by being sponsors to other women. We love to have women come back and share their story and experience strength and hope, what they say in the recovery community, to our women currently going through it. It's just an amazing experience. Yeah.
Peyton, you being the alumni coordinator as well, just trying to piece that together, but is that working with those who've come through the program?
Yes, actually, I did want to talk about this because right now we're in the process, and alumni are the backbone of this. We are doing mentorships, and a lot of the women that have gone through our program are interested in coming back and mentoring the other women that are in the program. Yeah. And I think that that is so amazing. Even since I've been here, because I've been at Doors of Hope since December, I've just seen so many of these women graduate the program and are so just wanting to come back immediately and just help and be a part of it again and work for Doors of Hope. And I love that. I love that sense of community. I love that they want to come back and give back. And also they have this sense of empathy because they've gone through this exact same program. They've been through it all. So it's really awesome. Also, mentorship is not just open to alumni as well. Since I am the volunteer and alumni coordinator, if anybody listening is interested in volunteering or doing mentorship, please feel free to reach out to me. I would be more than happy to have a conversation. I have had so many interviews within the past couple weeks, especially for mentorship. So if that's something that anybody's interested in, please reach out.
I guess that's one of the main ways that you could be involved with Doors of Hope. What are some other?
Yeah, we do events and whatnot as well that people can help set up with. One of our big annual events that I wanted to promote on here is our Fairway to Hope. It's our Doors of Hope golf tournament. It's going to be at Pine Creek Golf Course, and it's Thursday, May 22nd. That's one of our biggest fundraising events, and that's kind of volunteer-based too, because some volunteers do come and help set up events. We've had volunteers come and help with community, like every Monday night, helping serve dinner, just any number of things. They can come and mentor, or they can come and facilitate a class is also something that we've had before. I've reached out to MTSU professors that have been interested in mentoring classes, which is really great because it also kind of pushes the college thing. Sure. Where it's like, you know, if you're interested in doing this, you can actually apply for scholarships and go to college if you're interested. So we have a lot of MTSU partnerships as well.
And I'm sure nonprofit and,
yes,
you know, donations help that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know you have events and things of that nature, but, you know, it's those partners in the community that, you know, funnel in money.
Absolutely.
that you really count on to operate.
Yeah, like we've had so many different people. I mean, we've had churches come and help. I mean, we're a non-faith based organization, but we're still like, we have churches come and like contribute so much to us. We have experience, we have world outreach. Like there's been so many different partners that we've had, and we love that. We love MTSU partnerships, we love like local churches, we just love volunteers that are willing to help in the Middle Tennessee area.
Well, hopefully folks can find out more about Doors of Hope and give of their time, money, even just spreading awareness.
Absolutely. I think that this is the importance of doing this radio interview, and yeah, I appreciate that.
Do you have a website?
Yes, we do. It's www.opendoorsofhope.org.
Very good. Taylor, you look like you have a last comment here.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, there's so many ways to give back to the community, whether mm-hmm. it's just telling somebody or if you know somebody in addiction,
we're a really great
resource. Yeah, we would love to help. So we don't have any down payments or insurance barriers currently that would keep somebody from coming, which does make us stand out from others in the community. So just reach out to us, and if we can't find somebody, like I said, we've been involved in so many different organizations and coalitions here in the community and have great partnerships. If we are not the right fit for somebody, we know somebody eventually who is. And we've been so blessed to have many other nonprofit organizations come and give back to us, and we try to give back to them by doing volunteer work as well for our women volunteering for other organizations. So some of our biggest partners have been Greenhouse Ministries, United mm-hmm. Way, Volunteer Behavioral Health, Mental Health Co-op, like I said, different coalitions here where nonprofits and communities get together, where we can brainstorm, figure out how we can help with helping to aid in the opioid crisis. But it's not just opioids that we're seeing. I mean, unfortunately, fentanyl and all of that is mixed into everything out there, so people aren't even realizing that's what they're getting hooked on. So
Doors of Hope online at opendoorsofhope.org. and Peyton Taylor, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Our friends from Doors of Hope, Peyton Reichenau, the volunteer and alumni coordinator, and Taylor Mora, the mental health counselor, one of them there at Doors of Hope. By the way, this podcast will be up shortly at wgnsradio.com, so be sure to check it out there. And have a good day, everybody.